From the KTO newsroom, I'm Jamie Deep. Thanks for tuning in. 12 people were infected by an outbreak of a gastrointestinal illness while aboard a cruise ship traveling through Southeast Alaska last week. That's according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which released a report of the outbreak aboard the National Geographic Seabird yesterday. The ship began its 6-day voyage in Juneau last Tuesday and traveled through several Southeast Alaska towns, including Sitka and Haines. Of the 90 people on board, including both passengers and crew, 12 people contracted the illness. 9 were passengers and 3 were crew members. The illness reportedly caused people to experience vomiting, diarrhea, muscle ache, headache, abdominal cramps, and fever. The type of illness is unknown at this time, according to the CDC. And a new public use cabin opened near Ward Lake this week. The Sagaty S. Hiddy Cabin is the first U.S. Forest Service cabin built on the Ketchikan Road system. The name, which translates to Beaver House, was provided by the Ketchikan Indian Community Tlingit Language Program. The Forest Service and the National Forest Foundation partnered on the cabin in an effort to expand and improve recreation opportunities across the state. That initiative focuses on building accessible cabins in easy-to-reach locations. It also aims to strengthen local economies. The cabin is made from western red cedar and Sitka spruce harvested in Southeast Alaska and features a covered deck, picnic table, and fire ring. This is the third public use cabin in Southeast since the partnership launched in 2024. The National Forest Foundation said in a statement that plans are in works for more cabins later this summer. A contract was recently awarded for a new cabin in Wrangell, and there are plans for new facilities near Petersburg, Hoonah, Yakutat, Sitka, and Ketchikan. The Sagaty S. Hiddy Cabin is located at Signal Creek Campground and is now open. Reservations can be made online at recreation.gov. 13 canoes bringing Alaska Native paddlers from across Southeast Alaska and Canada arrived in Juneau this afternoon. The canoes landed in 2 separate groups, one in downtown Juneau and the other at a traditional Auk Village site north of town. Every other June, more than 100 paddlers arrive in Juneau this way to kick off Celebration, a gathering of Alaska Native people celebrating cultural revitalization. Sea Alaska Heritage Institute started this event more than 4 decades ago. And some people come to Celebration the old-fashioned way, paddling yak that were carved for the occasion. Some were arriving this way for the first time, like Shaklani Brandon Ware from Petersburg, who introduced his crew to the Occoquan elders waiting on shore.
Good excuse for having us. We are so grateful to be here. Forgive me if I miss protocol. This is our first journey in over 100 years.
In downtown Juneau, 3 yak carrying dozens of people made their way to shore as hundreds stood watching. After Shanga KD Casey Motes disembarked, he said being a part of a yak journey is a symbol of how much he's learned about his community and culture.
I had heard that I would never hear my I would never know my language. I'd never belong to a clan. I'd never have a name. I wouldn't know my songs. And to do this means everything in the whole world.
Celebration officially starts tomorrow with a grand entrance parade into Centennial Hall downtown. Over the coming days, there will be numerous events and ceremonies dedicated to honor and uplift Alaska Native culture. More information and the full schedule of official celebration events can be found on Sea Alaska Heritage Institute's website. Juneau's Costco might be the smallest in the world, but it has an outsized impact on many outlying Southeast Alaska communities that rely on it for supplies. However, a soon-to-be change in its shipping services is expected to make it more difficult and expensive for small businesses to get products to their towns. KTOO's Clarice Larson reports.
For years, Juneau's Costco has offered a specialized shipping service for members in outlying communities in Southeast Alaska. And many small business owners in neighboring communities have relied on it. They say the service allowed their businesses to order pallets of various products assembled by Costco employees, ready to be shipped out from Juneau to their towns to be resold. But that's soon about to change. An email from Juneau's Costco management went out last month to numerous Southeast Alaska businesses that use the service. It stated that, beginning on June 7th, the Juneau Costco location would no longer offer its specialized shipping service. The email stated that the service was no longer logistically sustainable due to, quote, current physical limitations and staffing. Costco management declined to comment or answer KTOO's follow-up questions regarding the change. But other people had a lot to say about the change, like Sue Thompson.
It's a really sad situation.
Thompson is the owner of Angoon Trading Company. It's a general store located in the village of Angoon on Admiralty Island, southwest of Juneau. She says she's been utilizing the service at Costco for 2 decades, and now she's very worried about losing the service.
It does have a huge impact, reason being because our village only consists of like 350 people, and there's not a lot of work, there's not a lot of jobs here, so when I can utilize groceries from Costco, it keeps the cost down rather than bringing it up from down south.
She says she doesn't know how she'll cope with the change, but she isn't throwing in the towel.
The cost of groceries have to go up. And trust me, groceries here in the village, because of where we are expensive already.
For example, right now, she's able to resell a dozen eggs from Juneau's Costco for about $5.39. But if she were to have to ship those eggs up to Angoon from down south, she'd need to charge roughly $8.35 to make it pencil out. When the Costco service goes away, Thompson says there is the option of flying to Juneau herself.
And eating my cost, but I'm 71 years old. You know, I'm not a spring chicken anymore, you know. So I need to figure something out because I can't let down my community.
She's not alone either.
I mean, it definitely will be an impact for sure.
That's Heather Bryant. She co-owns Pelican General Store, the only grocery store in the small southeast Alaska fishing town of Pelican on Chichikov Island west of Juneau. She says her business relies heavily on Juneau's Costco to fill its shelves and feed the town. The shipping service allows her to curate orders to Pelican's specific needs. Without it,
we would have to go and get it ourselves. I mean, you know, we're just, my husband or I will have to fly over and shop Costco ourselves instead of having somebody else do it.
She says when she adds up the additional cost to fly and stay in Juneau and be away from the business, she worries about how it'll pencil out in the long run. But she's trying to remain optimistic, a character trait she needs to run a business in an isolated place like Pelican.
Just have to make it work somehow. And you know what? I feel like that it's always a little bit stressful when it first happens. But then I think you just kind of adapt. You just have to figure out what you're going to do.
In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
Shipping costs for parts and raw materials can be expensive in rural Alaska. In the island town of Petersburg, residents are giving items at the dump a second life through the borough's salvaging program. Isaiah Bowen Carlin reports for KFSK from the local landfill.
A handful of pickup trucks are parked near the base of a large hill of jagged metal. There's a squash car, an old bed, and a graveyard of refrigerators.
I'm looking for parts for my truck, and then I got my mother-in-law a boat, and she wants a different seat, so I'm going to go check out that boat over there.
Ola Nordgren is one of a half dozen people equipped with wire cutters, sledgehammers, and chainsaws. They're at the Petersburg Borough's local dump, taking part in its salvaging program, which happens Sundays and Mondays. It's a $10 flat fee, and users have to sign a waiver and weigh out as they leave.
Yeah, it's amazing stuff people throw away.
That's Joseph Quitzland, a local artist and metal worker. He's been attending weekly for over 15 years and estimates he collects about 10 tons a year from what he personally calls dump church.
It's always kind of a fun mystery as to what treasures one might find, intended or otherwise. I do generally have kind of an idea of things that I'm looking for projects.
Putson points out a pile of pallets, logs, and plywood heaped near the entrance. In the past, he's found redwood and mahogany for his projects. He says he no longer needs to cut firewood out of the forest. Andrew Edfelt is nearby, dressed head to toe in bright orange rain gear.
Got a bunch of logs laid out for salvagers, and it's, you know, $10 all you can eat. Today, this is a super good deal. I don't have to drive out the road. I don't have to, you know, drag logs out of the woods.
Some salvagers also high grade, a process of separating valuable metals, like copper, aluminum, and brass, which can be sold and sent off the island. Quitson spots an old industrial motor. It's full of copper, but requires some dismantling with a sledgehammer and an angle grinder.
Much easier to dig it out here than digging it out of the ground.
Local nonprofits have also benefited from recycling the material for years. But as some programs became less active after the pandemic, some piles at the landfill have gotten bigger. Aaron Moreau with the Public Works Department said at a borough assembly meeting last summer, the aluminum pile had grown, quote, exponentially.
There's often items discarded into it which cannot be recycled, and it's unmanageable at this point, and so our staff would be thrilled to have it gone.
The assembly agreed to let a nonprofit bike park group collect aluminum and sell the scraps as a fundraiser. The borough manages the town's waste by having its garbage removed from the island. It costs about $500,000 each year. But what can't be barged out, like cars and large equipment, stays at the local landfill. Some salvagers see that as an opportunity. Israel Carlson says the program is a community resource.
It's like shipping costs is half the cost of everything now up here, so. No, I think having a yard where you can go get parts and things for stuff you need without having to drop a ton of money is pretty vital in this community, so.
Armed with a little creativity and a willingness to put in some elbow grease, the salvagers recount their best finds.
I came and got an engine and transmission for my other vehicle.
I found a gold ring with teeny tiny little diamonds in it. I gave it to my wife.
I got a mini four-wheeler a couple weeks ago, and then I threw a chainsaw motor in that for the kid. She loves it.
Well, we had an Easter hunt here, and I found a little brass statuary of leaping dolphins, which was just kind of a fun whimsical thing.
As the saying goes, one man's trash is another's treasure. Each year, the borough sells about 500 salvage permits and estimates that it removes about 67 tons from the landfill. Ketchikan has a similar program, and Wrangell used to have one before it covered its landfill. In Petersburg, I'm Isaiah Bowen Carlin.
And right now in Juneau, it's 78 degrees and sunny. And that temperature is expected to drop a little bit tomorrow. And then we've got rain in the forecast for the rest of this week. This is KTOO.